So we go on with this amazing healing of this crippled man. This was somebody everybody knew because he was sat there at the gate of the temple every day asking for alms. And the Lord healed that one through Peter so that everybody would have to pay attention. He still does this. In our own day, there have been, and probably still are, outpourings of the Holy Spirit in large groups, and hundreds are healed. You've read about this, I suppose. It's going on all over the place. And if we pray, the Lord will help us when we try to preach, to heal people. And so this man is healed. And Peter, the fisherman, the construction worker, look at his eloquence. That's not a problem for God. You find eloquent words when you're really convinced. Then you find the words because the reality forces you to it. And so, for you first, the last lines of this speech, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. He's doing that right now this morning. Where? I don't know. Here, of course, this is the word of God. But he has mercy. This is still Easter, which is a time of very special grace in the church, right? Then we have the follow-on from the disciples. Yesterday they were on their way to Emmaus. It's Emmaus. It's a town. It's a young, well, I guess they're not so young anymore. Von Fleckenstein, his name is. And her name is, Lisa, but I'm trying to think of her family name. Anyway, it'll come, but I don't know. Haspun. She was, I'm just telling you this for your edification. It's not the homily, but I'll tell you about it anyway. She belongs to one of those groups, Focolari or one of those. And they were having a meeting in Germany. So she went. And she got out of the plane, was walking across the tarmac, and they'd sent somebody to meet her. And as she was walking, she saw this young man, and a voice said to her, "That's the one you're going to marry." And he's looking to see this Palestinian-looking young woman that he's supposed to take to the meeting. And he sees her, and he says, and the Lord says, "That's the one you're going to marry." So they got married. But it's quite, and they live in Israel, and they're guides. I haven't taken a group over there for a long time now, but whenever I go, those are our guides, the Hasbun family. Okay. So, and he's an archaeologist. And so he's the one digging up Emmaus, which is probably Emmaus. So, now they're all back in Jerusalem. And while they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, what does he always say? Peace. Peace. Isn't that what he says to us? Peace. They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. So he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Can you imagine that to this day in heaven, the Word of God incarnate is worshipped and adored by all of heaven, and he still bears the marks of his slaughter. He never gave them up. His body to this day, glorious and radiant, still bears the marks of the nails and the spear. And they will, he will for all eternity. Those are his trophies. And so, now look, touch me, see that a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Do you realize the humility of Jesus? I'm going to prove to you, I'm the same one you saw hanging on the cross. Look. Think of the tenderness, the desire to have them believe and rejoice. Our Savior is alive. And he wants us to know that. And he convinces us of that here at the Eucharist. Here, reading these texts, they come alive. Who brings them alive? Our risen Savior, who is here with us. And so, touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. That's God talking. God has flesh and bones. Jesus, the eternal Son of God. And he showed him his hands and feet. And they're still incredulous. Now, they just say, oh, it's too good to be true. It's true. You know, they're so happy now. And he said, have you got anything to eat? So they bring him something, and he eats it. Well, by golly, it's not a mirage, not a vision, not a collective hallucination. It's Jesus. What humility. What do I have to do to prove to you? But he does this to us, doesn't he? What do I have to do to prove to you that I love you? That your life is in my hands. If you don't turn from me, I will never turn from you. Which means one day you will begin your real life in heaven forever. And it's the fruit of my cross. So, once again, because this is the fruit of the resurrection, is to understand the scriptures. If you didn't do it yesterday, try to do it today. Get some time, sit down with the Bible and say, Lord, show me how risen you are. Open up this text for me. And he will. That's one of the signs of the resurrection, right? Is understanding the scriptures. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, and you know what the other two are going to be now, right? There's the law, the prophets, and the writings, right? Torah, Nevi'im, U'Ketuvim. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms, that's an abbreviation for the writings section. Do the Psalms speak about Jesus? During Lent, did you see how we had the suffering poor man Psalms to reveal to us the heart of Jesus? And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's the grace. I've told you many times about my friend, everybody's friend, Honi the circle drawer, right? That's how you read the scriptures. Honi was holy fella, and they didn't have rain. They said, Honi, pray for rain. Come on, will you do something? And he prayed and prayed and nothing happened. So he drew a circle in the ground, and he stood in the middle of the circle. And he said, Lord, Master, King of the universe, I'm not moving out of this circle until you give us rain. And boom, the You can do that when you read the scriptures. I'm not getting up from this chair until you open up at least a bit of this to me. He liked that. So that we understand. The grace of Easter is the grace of understanding the scriptures. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ, the Messiah, would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. To this day, repentance for the forgiveness of sins is preached in the name of Jesus. And we're living in a time when the Lord is coming mightily to our aid, right? I mean, some places where there are large crowds, and the Spirit comes and heals hundreds. Why? Because we're like sheep without a shepherd. Where are the leaders, except for the Pope? Where are the leaders? Who's telling us what life is all about? Who's showing us what God wants? Who's leading us to the way of peace and forgiveness? And what do we got? We got Crimea. We got Middle East. We got... Now, who do you think is stirring these wars up? Satan. He gets all these people full of hatred. That's a sin. If they die like that, they could go to hell. And then he gets them to kill each other. So when the Lord says, pray for peace, and Our Lady is saying this all the time, right? Do you say the rosary for peace like she told us to? Every day? Our Lady of Fatima told us to pray for peace and for the conversion of Russia. Makes sense, doesn't it? And so, repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things.